of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Kendra.
Hey, Kendra.
And I am an alcoholic.
Hey, Kendra.
Hello.
For those who care to join us, let's open the meeting with a serenity prayer. God.
God. Grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Okay. Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. They're across the main foyer and up a small flight of stairs. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism based on simple actions. These actions are contained in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry the clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA's simple actions. I will now read the preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. While the requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking, there are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any cause. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we are discussing step 10. Please welcome our panel. Dawn and Matt. Sorry about that name. I'll read the first paragraph on the page, and then the panel will share for a few minutes on each reading. All right, the first reading is on page 84. This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as long as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as we've cleared up the past. We have entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly. If we have harmed anyone, then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code.
You just give your experience, strength, and hope on that, and you can do a qualifier if you like.
I'll do that. I'm an alcoholic. My name's Don.
Hello.
Thanks for asking me. I think my sobriety date is June 26, 1992, and that may not impress you, but it impresses the hell out of me. So I thought I'd mention that. Plus, it gives me a boundary beyond which, when I finally made that effort to do something about what was going on with me, that's when my life changed, and it changed for the better all the way around, although I couldn't see it for a long time. But, we all have a way we get here, and Suffice to say for me that I did everything in my life to satisfy me. I lived anything I did to achieve power, money, security, special privilege, sex, whatever it was, that's what I tried to do. I didn't know what enough meant. I didn't understand the word, you know, because I never had enough of anything. Because once I achieved a goal of mine, and no matter what it took or who I'd hurt to do it, by the way, but once I achieved a goal, it became trash. It wasn't good anymore. It's like when in Bill Wilson's story, when he said, when he got to a point, he said, "I have arrived." And I thought that I had every time to get what I wanted to satisfy me. And this was a long time before I got to step 10, but I'll tell you, so nothing's changed today from where I found AA. I still have to do the things I did then. And one of those things was to constantly be aware of what's going on with me and what's happening with the people around me. And instead of looking out for me, to be there for somebody else. The man that became my sponsor, his name was Joe Shaw, and he's dead now. But he had come over from California, and he believed earnestly in the third step of Alcoholics Anonymous to make sure that once you pass that, you can go on with the rest of the steps. And if you did a thorough third step, that usually was the case. But Joe caught me at the worst time of my life. I was in full flight from reality, was in desperation, and I ended up in Alcoholics Anonymous, a place I surely didn't want to be. But I didn't either. When, by the time I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, everything else was gone. I was laying up in a motel room with a gun in one hand and a bottle of vodka in the other, and thought, well, this is the end, because too many people were looking at me, looking for me, and I was facing a lot of hard things I didn't want to face. And I had to do something I'd never done before, and that's just say, I give up. I surrender, and because there was nothing else for me to do. And the things that happened since then, the things that happened since then have been just phenomenal. Life is so good today as a result. And I love going through the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous with somebody else, and especially once you're at this stage, because step 10, I'm thinking about what I can do ahead of time, you know, to take care of some of these issues. And I'm going to make mistakes all the time. I usually do. But I have a way to back them up. Today, I know that when I'm dealing with fear or whatever I'm dealing with, I have a way out. I inventory that, get it down on paper, review what's really going on instead of what I think is going on, and ask God to remove that fear and show me what He'd have me be. And if that's, and when that can take place, and I can spend that with another alcoholic, I immediately go and talk to another alcoholic with it. Whether I've done this before or not, I talk to him. And my sponsor, he sometimes gets tired of hearing from me, but we come to an answer. And it's usually something I hadn't thought of. Because in my mind, I want to do it my way too, still. Anyway, that's all I've got right now.
Good evening, my name's Matt, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Matt.
My home group is Great Bridge Step Study on Wednesday nights. We meet at 7 o'clock out in Great Bridge. For me, you know, pretty much my story was just told as well. There's something fundamentally different about me when it comes to alcohol. And just a little bit about myself. I drank heavily for years, and it was started as binge drinking and wound up as everyday drinking, where I had to drink every morning, every afternoon. I'd convinced myself to the point that I was normal like everybody else, that I was driving my daughter to school with a beer in the cup holder at 7 o'clock in the morning. And to me, that was normal. That's what everybody was doing. So at any rate, when I got here, needless to say, I was really broken. I truly, really had convinced myself that I was a pretty decent person, and I was going around. All I did was just drink a little bit too much. I thought I treated people respectfully. You know, I thought everybody acted the way that I acted. So to me, really, I was just here because I knew that I couldn't drink the way that I was drinking anymore, or I was going to die. So really, I came in here pretty broken, and I asked someone to help me, which I'd never done before in my life. I got a sponsor almost immediately out of rehab, and we began working steps, which I didn't really sign up for, to be honest with you. I didn't know that there was going to be work. I thought you all were going to just teach me how to drink responsibly. Maybe in a year from now, I'd be cured from like the alcoholic drinking part of me, and I could just sit down and have a couple of beers with somebody, or maybe drink a half a glass of wine and leave it like normal people do. But that's just not in my DNA. It really isn't. So for me, I too, everything was the same. Whatever the case might be, pills, whatever, they were all a part of my story. One was never enough. So I love that we got to this point in step 10, because I had worked all nine steps prior, and I thought I had done a pretty good job, and I really was as earnest as I possibly could be at the time, and have since worked again through the steps. But you know, when I got to step 10, I read it. I was like, geez, I thought I was done. I thought I'm cured by now. You know, I just made amends to people, and I'm going to be good now, you know. And unfortunately, some people may not like to hear this, but I didn't get good, you know, when I finished the first nine steps. Some of my behaviors got worse. Some of my character defects became worse. So after I got done with step nine, step 10 was really in play for me a lot. And I guess because I was so used to chaos, pain, those things were normal things in my life. Like, I thought drama had to happen every single minute of every single day. I thought things were either really, really good or they were really, really bad. There was no median in the middle. And so having worked the steps and getting to step 10, I'm starting to figure out that my threshold for pain has become less and less. Whereas I used to hold on to stuff for, 39 years to start. But then after that, I started letting go of stuff, and I did a good inventory, and I let go of it. And then I had to start looking at my behaviors on a daily basis. Which was crazy for me, because I usually just walk through life doing whatever I wanted to do. So for me, it should continue for a lifetime, scare the crap out of me. Which is funny, because I brought my book with me, and not because I need to be able to read it from two separate places, but this step couldn't have come at a better time for me. And the reason I say that is because in my book, I actually have it starred like as one of, like, this is important, you know, this is important. And I have it underlined: continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. And when these crop up, we ask God to remove them. At once, we ask Him to remove them. And underlined, I actually have love and tolerance of others as our code. Because that's not who I am characteristically. I'm actually the opposite. So this is a lot of work for me to do. I love it because my sponsor says the same thing, and I love to say it too, but I'm a big deal, you know? And I look at this, and this is like, this doesn't pertain to me. You know, that's where my head goes to. And I need to look at it and see that it's underlined: love and tolerance of others is our code. Because that's not who I am as a person. That's not how I want to react to you. That's not how I want to react to you in traffic. That's not how I want to react to my kids at home. You know, I want to flip, never mind. At any rate, I want to get angry at everybody, you know, and just act like a fool. That's my go-to. So when I sit down and I analyze what I do and how I act, I have to share them with somebody. And one of the deals that I said I would do is call my sponsor on a regular basis. And a lot of that has to do with how I am as a human being and how I act on a regular basis. Because if I don't continue to keep myself clean, my resentments are going to crop up. Next thing I know, and we'll get into it later in the paragraphs, but my spiritual well-being goes right in the toilet, and I'm running around dry drunk treating people however I want to act, and step 10 is right out the window.
Thank you. The next reading is on page 84 as well. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, for by this time sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as a hot flame. We react sanely and normally. And we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. This is our experience. That is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition.
You know, it's funny how things happen after we get sober. It took me a long time before I could accept the fact I can't drink again, ever. You know, I had to really learn the one day at a time and practice that with the sponsor of mine, and he was on my back all the time, which for me that was very good that he did that, because I like to run the show, and he showed me that it was a better way. You know, funny things happen ever since I got sober. One of them happened here not long ago when I was in a new Kroger store, and they've got a bar in there, and there was a woman out with a tray of cups with wine, different wines in it, and she said, "Would you like to taste a sample of this new wine?" I said, "No, you don't have enough. You know? I'll be here all night, and then we'll close it up." And but you know, life is so much changed today; it's unbelievable. But I had to go through a lot of experiences that I didn't want to do on the way, and one of those happened to be on when I went to work one day, and my boss handed me some sheet of paper, and he says, "Go do this." And it happened to be an application for a new clearance for this project we were on. And he said, "Turn the papers in." Well, I filled them out, all except a couple of lines I left blank because I didn't know where that paperwork was going to go. And a couple weeks later, I got a telephone call in the middle of the day. It says, "We'd like to talk to you tonight." It happened to be NCIS and a couple other groups that were embedded in the top floor of one of the buildings down in Virginia Beach. And said, "We'd like to talk to you." I said, "Well, you know, I get to work really early." They said, "What time?" I said, "I'll be at work at 4:00. They said, "We'll be there." And I'm in deep kimchi. but I went down there and met this, it was a young woman who was one of the agents there, and we sat and had a talk, and she said, "We want to know why you had these two blank forms on this paperwork." And I was sweating bullets by this time, but I did something that's highly unusual for me. Yes, I told the truth. I told the truth, just exactly what it was. I had no idea where the paperwork was going to go, and my boss never told me. And she said, "Wait a minute." And she called my boss, and he verified that that's what it was. So all my fear was for nothing, because she let that go. And when I went back down to the next day, past my boss's office, there was a sign on there for her, for that boss, that said that she had been promoted. And she said, "Oh, by the way, you got your clearance too." So those things were happening all the time for me ever since sobriety, but they would never happen had I not done what they called for in step 10. Today, as I said, everything is wonderful. Not totally wonderful, but by my ideas, it's quite a lot of change for me. my wife was separated from me for 2 years, not at my request, at hers. She didn't want anything to do with me for a couple of years, and I was court ordered away from everything I cared about for at least 2 years. And suddenly, after 2 years, she asked me back in the big house, which was an amazing thing to me. Even back in the big bed again, which was another surprise. But today, we've been married 51 years, and I still don't know how she puts up with me. So it's life is so good today. That first line, we've ceased fighting anything or anyone, and I don't anymore. I just give it to God and move on. Thanks.
Cease fighting anything or anyone. Again, that's completely against my makeup, even alcohol. So for me, the experience of Alcoholics Anonymous was a tricky one, because I really wasn't sure if I was like you all, but yet everything that someone was saying in meetings, I was shaking my head to, and I could identify with. So I still had some reservations, but when I asked for my sponsor to sponsor me, he said, well, there's some simple things that I need you to do. Can you do these on a daily basis to stay sober? And I said, sure, I can do them, I don't know about that praying thing, but I'll give it a shot. I'll do the best that I can. And he actually gave me some prayers to say out of the book. But so as I started doing the steps, and as I and I'm talking every minute of every day, when I first got sober, I was thinking about alcohol. This was my original home group back in 2012, and everybody would go to eat pizza afterwards, and it was insane to me that people would go to dinner and have like a good time with each other and not drink. Like that's how I would think about alcohol. Like normal people just don't just sit around and eat pizza together. That's just weird. So for me, I the moments got a little bit longer. Sanity started to come back to me, and I really thought like sanity was like I was crazy and now I'm going to be sane, but that's really not the sanity to me that it's referencing. The sanity that to me it's referencing is the fact that I'm no longer walking around feeling like I got to take a drink every second of every day, because that's really where I was at. So as I did the steps, and as I continued to work with a sponsor, and as I called other people in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I got involved and started doing some service work and involved in my home group, the thought of alcohol would go a couple hours, and it would be pretty great for those couple hours. And then before I knew it, I'm doing some of the latter steps, and I'm a day or two without thinking about alcohol. And, that time gets longer and longer, and I'm spending more time concentrating on other people besides myself, which is, again, completely against what I am. I like to be selfish and self-centered and take care of me first. You don't matter to me, but, and I say you as in anyone, my kids, my work people, whoever, you don't matter to me. That's just the way that it is. So I start reacting sanely and normally to people in general. I'm going through hard situations anymore that I used to drink over and not deal with. And I'm actually starting to go through things on my own with my sponsor helping me and some of the other guys in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm starting to stand up tall, and I'm facing situations which used to just, as they say, baffle me. I'd rather drink and run from you than deal with the situation that's in front of me. That's just who I am. But now I've got a new attitude towards liquor, as it says, and I'm not thinking about it. I'm going through hard situations that I'm walking through them, and I'm facing them and doing okay with it, I might have a few moments here and there that I feel that I'm fearful. I might even tell a lie about something, just slip out of my mouth, and I catch it really quick, because I'm doing the 10th step. I do have to share with you, as was shared a few minutes ago, I'm not immune to it. I've been sober for a while, but I'm not immune to it. Life has been really lifey for me this year. As they say, that's the best way that I can describe it to you. You know, I moved to a new house. I'm looking at moving jobs. I've taken myself from my household to being just me and my two kids part-time to inviting other people into my household and having more people there all the time. So I'm really turn things upside down, and I didn't plan on all of it happening at the same time. But, you know, it happened for a reason, and I truly believe that, because there was a situation where I was in a person's house that I knew had some, let's say, pills that I used to like to enjoy with my alcohol, and I thought I could do that and grab a couple of those and nobody will know. This is after a while of being sober. You know, that's my go-to thought. But like it says, I immediately repel from that thought. Instead of sitting there and thinking and pondering on it, yeah, I romanced it for a second, you know. I thought, oh, nobody will know, nobody will find out, I don't have to tell my sponsor. But that's not the way that this program works. In my head, as a self-centered liar to a lot of people and myself, that sounds like a great idea. But I repel from it, and I immediately call my sponsor. And I immediately call the other guys that I'm close to in the program, and we talk about it. And I share that with them. And you know what? Guys that have longer sobriety than me, you know what they say to me? You know what? It's cool, man. You called me. I had those same thoughts just a couple weeks ago over this situation, and they tell me, and they make me understand that it's okay and that I did the right thing. I repelled from it, you know? Instead of holding on to that idea or even taking a couple of pills and putting them in my pocket for later, you know, because that seemed like a good idea, you know, the problem has been removed. And there's only one reason, which we'll get into next, but it has to do with how fit I am spiritually. My spiritual condition is a direct relation as to how I react to certain situations. But I'll save that for the next paragraph. So, thanks.
Awesome. Thank you. All right, the next reading is on page 85. It's easy to let up on a spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. We really have a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower as long as this line. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will.
Back again. I was thinking a bit of what my sponsor insisted on when I finished going through this, when I was going through the steps of the program. Joe insisted we sit down and do this line by line, word by word, paragraph by paragraph, page by page, and we would discuss anything about it. But in the end, he had one requirement, and I have that today with people that I sponsor, and that is that when we finish that journey through the steps, that person, in this case it was me, would in turn go through those steps with another alcoholic. And he was absolutely right. I get inconvenienced a lot with people calling me on the phone or coming over to go through the steps of the program, and sometimes think, dang, I got a lot of other things to do. But you know, when those people leave, I'm the one that gets the benefit. I'm the one that every telephone call I get the benefit. And Joe said to me one day, he said there's a proverb that the how'd it go? I can't think where the darn sometimes. But what he was talking about was that the student becomes the teacher when he forgive me. I think I've got a brain hemorrhage or something. I'm just trying to overdo it, I guess. Anyway, I know that if I'm not passing on this to another alcoholic, that my days and everything around me usually gets screwed up for some reason or other. And Joe insisted. I told Joe when we'd gone a little ways into this thing, we talked about sponsorship, and he says, and I said, I think I'd like to do that. I think I'm ready to sponsor people. He says, no, you're not. He says, don't even think about it. He says, you don't know anything yet, and you're not going to until we get finished. And it was a good thing he did, too. But today, the best part of my day, in all seriousness, is when there's another alcoholic at the door to talk over these things again. And when he gets ready to leave the house, and I thank him for spending the time with me and allowing me to get more out of it than he got. He says, how is that possible? I said, you'll find out when you get an opportunity to sponsor someone else. Anyway, I know today that without a spiritual answer, I don't have anything. Without maintaining that spiritual connection, I don't have anything. And I try my best to make sure that I pray to God to do these things over and over again. God's will, not mine, be done. That's all I got right now. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thanks. It's easy to let up on a spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. Again, I brought my book just for this because I have it underlined and starred next to it, and probably, you know, I probably should have it double starred and all that stuff, because for me, I don't know, I'm lazy and I'm a procrastinator, and you know, all of this, like I said, this really gets in the way, and it's inconvenient for me a lot of times, you know. To come here and speak on a Monday night, that's, you know, it's out of my way. I had to drive all the way over to Norfolk from Chesapeake, you know, that's a big deal for me. It took me like all of 15 minutes, but that's, you know, but that's the way that my mind thinks, though, you know. This is in the way, and I can do it on my own. That's where my alcoholism takes me. It takes me to, I don't need all of you, and I don't need to go to meetings as often. You know, it's been a long time since I've had a drink, and maybe I don't need to call my sponsor this week or whatever the case might be. But the deal with that is usually when I get to that point, it's because I have stopped doing what I just read to you, which is the spiritual program of action. Because, and I'll read this to you because my sponsor actually wrote this. This was originally from when I first asked him to sponsor me, which is the simple actions. That's what it actually says. Number one was don't drink today, no matter what. Number two was say some simple prayers, page 86. Participate in a home group, take the 12 steps. Help others with by making phone calls and going to meetings. Attend meetings regularly. And then it has a couple other readings. But these are some things that he asked me to do on a daily basis. And I said, yes. You know, that's where my spirituality comes from. Going to meetings and hanging out with you all and hearing you all share with me your story and me identifying with another alcoholic for the similarities that we have. And maybe our stories are not exactly the same, but we follow along the same footsteps or paths in one way or shape or another, and that is that when we take the first drink, all bets are off. You know, we don't know where we're going to wind up or how we're going to wind up, or we may have a good time and we may not, you know. But this part for me, we're headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. And I'd like to point out that what I just shared with you in the last portion about having those thoughts about pills was I was a big deal and I was too busy for Alcoholics Anonymous because I had forgotten to go to meetings and I had forgotten to call my sponsor and I had forgotten to say my prayers in the morning. I'd forgotten to do just about everything that I said I would do on a regular basis. And that's when that thought cropped up. That's when my spiritual malady becomes an issue for me, and I then become susceptible to the thought that I can take a pill and nobody would know about it. My spiritual well-being was compromised at that point. Luckily, when I repel from it, I know exactly what to do, which is call my sponsor and double down on my actions that I said I would handle, that I would do on a daily basis. I jump right into doing the simple actions that I promised that I would do on a daily basis to remain sober. And it even says right there in the reading, what we really have is a daily reprieve contingent upon maintenance of our spiritual condition. When my spiritual condition is not good, I'm susceptible, you know? My thought processes are off. I refer to it as the noise in my head, because that's the white noise is kind of like the only way that I can describe it, because when I'm not well and I'm thinking about myself and I'm all wrapped up in everything that I'm doing and I'm too busy, the noise in my head gets really loud. Treating other people like trash really seems like a good idea. You know, running somebody off the road is kind of a normal idea for me. You know, I mean, that, especially around here. I mean, it's not my fault. It's theirs, I'm sure. But I'm just saying that you know, my well-being becomes how can I serve me and not thy, you know, how can I serve, you know, I'm just serving myself. Thy will, not mine, be done is out the door. So, you know, we can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. You know, willpower is what got me here in the first place. You know, saying that I could do this on my own without your help got me here. You know, I don't want to be here. I don't want to sit here in Alcoholics Anonymous on a Monday night telling you all my, you know, my story of woe of how I got here. But, you know, the truth of it is the more that I share and the more that I come here and allow myself to be in this program, my spiritual well-being is up here then. You know, it's not down here in the bottom. For me, you know, it's crazy because that's when my insanity creeps back in, is when I allow myself to fall outside the spiritual well-being. And I had some weird experiences with it. You know, I chased down different churches. I went to Buddhist temples. You know, I did all kinds of stuff trying to force some sort of spiritual well-being or spiritual, you know, fitness or some kind of something that would just show me that I had that spiritual experience, you know. And I tried so hard to force it. And the fact is that when I did the steps and I did the simple actions of Alcoholics Anonymous, I had a spiritual, you know, experience right there. I didn't have to force it. I had already had it. You know, for me to be able to repel from alcohol or pills or whatever the case might be, that's my spiritual experience. Thanks.
Thank you. All right, final reading. Much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from Him who has all knowledge and power. If we have carefully followed directions, we have begun to sense the flow of His Spirit into us. To some extent, we have become God-conscious. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense, but we must go further, and that means more action.
Well, I definitely agree that that's what we have to do. You know, I had a big background in religious activities from a family that you know, they darkened the doorstep of every church that they went to. Every time that something was going on, they were there, and they drug us along with it. So we kind of expected that. But the problem with that situation when I was coming up was that I lived in a house full of secrets. And that house full of secrets kept me sick for a long, long time. And one of them was that my parents would put on a show of being well-dressed and part of the community and part of the church group and the whole deal. That was what just to show everybody else that everything is fine for them, but it wasn't. Behind closed doors, everything changed, and they fought continuously. And they raised hell and tore telephones out of the walls and and hurt each other severely. And it was a place I wanted to get away from as soon as it was possible. And when I became of age, that's exactly what I did. I got permission at 17 to go in the Navy, and the rest was history. I wasn't going back there unless it was to visit for some reason. And but that was not the kind of spirituality I needed to have. Well, anything related to that, I didn't understand how they could be doing what they did and not pass it on to us what we really needed. I have found more of God at work in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous than I have in any church I've attended. And I happened to mention this one day to a member of the church where my home group was over here, and he said, "You know," he says, "you're absolutely right." He said, "I didn't think about that," but he said, "That's a, in my case," he said, "everything, everywhere I've been, it's been the same." He says, "We have more of God working here than anywhere else, or at least I do." And I need to do what Joe said, take action and be there to help somebody else. And I hope I continue to do that and to try and give back some of what I've received, because life today is wonderful in comparison to what it used to be. That's all I got.
So a little bit about myself. You know, when I first got here, you know, the God word kind of freaked me out, and you guys were a cult basically to me. You know, you said God all the time, and that was weird to me. And thankfully I had a sponsor who worked through that with me, and you know, just said, you know, use group of drunks at the time or whatever the case might be, and just keep saying prayers and develop a, you know, just go through the steps and do what I'm asking you to do. Can you do that? And I said, yeah. And, you know, to me, my God was angry at me. He kept making all these bad things happen to me. And, you know, I didn't know if there was a God. That's kind of where I was at. And, you know, I'd been raised Catholic all my life. And, you know, I really tried to force myself, like I said, to have some sort of contact with God. I didn't really know what the spiritual part of this program was at the time. Thankfully, I had a very, very patient sponsor who helped me for years to develop one. But, you know, receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from Him who has all knowledge and power, I thought that was me. You know, like I thought that was me when I got here. So when I got the opportunity to spend time with my sponsor and go through this, I noticed weird things started happening to me. Bad decisions. Started becoming harder to make. You know, the telling a lie became a lot harder to do to somebody to get what I wanted. Manipulation, you know, was still fun for years after I got sober, but I worked through a lot of those issues. But, you know, that stuff brings up a lot of pain for me, you know? There's a lot of fear in my life that, and that's one of the things is, fear for me is a great motivator, you know. I get fearful of stuff, and my gut reaction is to lie to you or manipulate you or whatever to get me out of that situation. But when I'm doing the spiritual program of Alcoholics Anonymous, those bad decisions become very, very difficult to make anymore. And even when I do make the wrong decision and I tell a lie or I stretch the truth just a little bit or... I maybe manipulate a situation to the way that I want it so that I get the outcome that I want. First of all, when I get what I want, it's never a good thing. I'll get that out in the open right there. Whenever I think I am getting what I want, that's a bad thing for me. Generally, I do the complete opposite, and I'll call my sponsor and I'll say, "What do you think of this situation?" "Oh my God, you're gonna do what?" "Yeah, don't do that. Do the opposite of that," you know, and generally I'm okay. But you know, for me, I had to carefully follow the directions. We began to sense the flow of His Spirit into us, and for me, that looks like saying prayers when I don't want to say prayers, you know, calling my sponsor and asking his opinion about a situation, or some of the other people in Alcoholics Anonymous for their opinion of a situation before I actually go and act on it. Because again, my actions are not the right ones. You know, I like to knee jerk and just go after it, and this is the way that it's going to be. And generally, when I'm getting what I want, that's when I'm in the most pain. So for me, the pain is a great motivator to enhance my spiritual life in order to not deal with that chaos and pain and fear anymore. They still crop up. You know, I'm dealing with some situations that fear is a huge part of it. And, you know, I make up these big stories elaborate stories around a situation, and nothing's even happened. You know, I already know the way that people are going to react. I already know what they're going to say. I know what they're going to do. I know what the outcome is going to be. And before I know it, I'm waking up and I'm not doing my morning prayers and I'm not doing my readings. And I'm all wrapped up in the situation and I'm spiritually ill again. But I bounce back pretty quick because I spend so much time with the guys in Alcoholics Anonymous and coming to meetings and stuff, that I usually get my head screwed on pretty quick. I don't know what it is, but when I come hang out with you, okay, when I come hang out in the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, and when I pick up this book and read it, or I do some simple prayers or whatever, I just feel better. You know, I can't explain that. That's not me doing it. You know, that's a direct relation of where I'm at spiritually and where my life is in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's a gift from the program. That I don't have any willpower over that whatsoever. And that's the greatest part about Alcoholics Anonymous. All I have to do is show up. Suit up and show up. Shut my mouth and listen and ask another human being how they're doing today. I'll share one really quick story because we have a little bit of time, but I was probably about a year and a half sober, and I was going through some stuff, and I was on the phone with my sponsor about every 2 hours, and I'm just rattling off about all this stuff that's happening in my life, and he stops me and he says, "Have you called somebody else and asked them how they're doing today?" And I'm like, "What? Are you not listening to me? This, I'm trying to tell you what's going on with me." And he stops me and he's like, "Look, just, you said you'd do what I ask you to do, right?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Call another alcoholic and ask them how they're doing." And you know that I called and I sat and I talked to a guy for a couple hours, and he was actually telling me about the stuff that was going on in his life. Yes, a couple hours. I said that right. I called him and asked him about his life. And you know what he was going through made my situation seem about this big. And after listening to him and being able to talk with him and help him, I can't explain it to you, but my situation that I had just got done rattling off to my sponsor for a couple hours before was gone. You know, it didn't seem like that big of a deal. When I signed up for this program, I had no idea that I was going to get spiritually fit. That was not part of the deal for me. But I hung out long enough with you all to understand that working through the steps means that I agreed to help other people. You know, this part, but we must go further, and that means more action. And to me, that leads you into step 11, which I'm assuming is next week. But, you know, for me, I've had some experiences in my life, and I would ask my sponsor, "Well, this really doesn't seem to be working, you know?" And I tell him that. And my sponsor simply responds to me, "Well, if you don't think that it's working, then just stop doing it." And, you know, that usually scares me to death, because I know that doing the simple actions that I promised I would do keep me spiritually well, and they keep me away from that drink. So for me, I owe my life to Alcoholics Anonymous and the fellowship that's in this room. Without it, I'm running around like an arrogant jerk, you know, treating people like crap, because that's really my regular personality. That's my go-to. But as long as I'm doing Alcoholics Anonymous in the deal, so to speak, then I have the ability to go through life and treat people with respect and care about other human beings, and give to another human being, whether it's my kids or another person in Alcoholics Anonymous. I have the ability to cease fighting everyone, and that's just weird for me, because I want to go upstream all I can. I want to fight against everything that's good. But when I lay down, you know, again, I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. I felt like you had to be either really, really good or really, really bad. Like, that was the only two feelings there are in the world. And as long as I'm walking around on a spiritual plane, I get to be okay most days. Yeah, there's still some bad stuff and there's still some really good stuff, but most days I get to walk around and be okay. And to me, that's pretty spiritual. That's pretty sane. To walk around and know that I don't have to win the lottery today to be okay, or get hit by a car to be bad. You know what I mean? To just walk around and know that I'm going to be okay is enough for me. And that's only the gift of Alcoholics Anonymous. So, thanks.
That's awesome. Let's thank our panel, Don and Matt. Thank you guys for sharing your spirit, strength, and hope. All right, I'm going to pass this out of the permission basket around. Contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their inner group, central office, local offices, district area, and general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free from outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Although the amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world, we want to remember that a dollar does not support as many services as it used to. Are there any AA-related announcements? I have one. This group is having a supper and a speaker on August 6th. It's going to be a potluck, and then the speaker is going to be Paul McHugh from Rockaway Beach, New York. So look forward to that. He's a very dynamic speaker, so we usually have pretty good speakers. Any other announcements? No? Okay. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Home group members, raise your hands. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We'd like to welcome you. Yes, sir.
Hey, I'm AJ.
Hey, AJ.
Welcome.
Hello.
Clay, I'm
welcome. Hey, Clay, welcome.
Hey, Rachel.
Yeah, go ahead.
Rachel.
Hey, Rachel.
Hey, Rachel.
Yeah.
I'm the
age of
an alcoholic.
Hey, Paige.
Hey,
welcome.
I'm
Mitch.
I'm an alcoholic.
Mitch, welcome.
Deborah. Hi, Deborah.
Hey, Deborah, welcome.
Well, it's good to have new faces here. Thank you for joining us this evening. Literature is over on this table over here. If you can fold it, you can take it. If it's a book, the price should be on the inside cover. See a home group member for that. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have a question or would like any additional information about sponsorship, I will be available at this table after we close the meeting, and please feel free to come up and talk to me. Reminder for the smokers, please use the butt cam provided outside. Stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. In closing, let's thank our panel again, Don and Matt. Thanks to all who participated. After the cleanup, all are invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on the step discussed tonight. At the meeting, after the meeting, we no longer do pizza. We're at Plaza del Sol now. Mexico. They have good guacamole. And can I get a volunteer for the last two paragraphs of 164? David, thank you.
Everybody, I'm an alcoholic. My name's David.
Hey, David.
Oh, by the way, I noticed those attractive blue flyers that you were reading from.
Yes.
Oh, yes, they're on the table.
Can other people take those with them?
Yes, please do take
like
them.
Like if they wanted to
distribute them.
Blue flyers? Take them.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you for the reminder.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you. And we'll end with the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.